It's time for the SwampSwamiSports.com audio podcast.
We're not worrying at all. We're just listening for his call. Here I come to save the day. That means that Mighty Mouse is on the way.
And welcome back to the SwampSwamiSports.com sports podcast. Today, a review, it's the Get Off My Lawn Super Sunday. It finally dawned on me this weekend that the entire advertising world has finally flushed my generation completely away and doesn't care what I happen to think about anything anymore. I can't help it that I was born smack dab into the middle of the deservedly despised baby boom generation. Being born into that age group, which is responsible for many of today's financial and social troubles, rankles many of the younger generations who will bear the cost of our gluttonous excesses. Yes, I do get it, but please, don't blame all of us. Yes, my age bracket is officially now over the hill, and some of us are getting just as cranky as old Clint Eastwood's character in the movie Gran Torino. Get off my lawn. Once the average age for your demographic starts with the number 6 or higher, you may not be a real ghost yet, but your demo surely is to the national advertising gurus. Though I personally disagree with the logic of many ad executives, many of us oldsters are, unfortunately, less likely to go out and buy new homes or new cars, furniture, appliances, tools, along with fast food and snack foods, which we were once able to gleefully consume without having to concern ourselves with a GI specialist visit later. To actually find out our target advertising market, all you have to do is turn on the TV and watch two different shows this week. First, turn on MeTV any weeknight this week and watch a classic half-hour comedy show. It's not only fun, but you'll also see ads targeting seniors about Medicare incessantly, the latest drugs which may cure your lumbago and other common maladies, and those discount cell phone companies which feature cell phones with those gigantic numbers on the phone. For the different segment of my advanced age bracket, then tune in this weekend to a televised PGA golf event. You'll see advertisements targeting wealthy oldsters featuring luxury cars, investment firms to help you manage your massive portfolio, and even more new drugs which try to resolve the myriad of other medical problems associated with your being wealthy during advancing age. Okay, I'm in the ghost generation now, and it's a crying shame. Prior to the football game kickoff on Super Bowl Sunday, I watched the PGA golf tournament from Phoenix, though I do enjoy the now famous 16th hole at the TPC of Scottsdale, Arizona. This year's golf tournament finally may have crossed my old age line. There's a par 3 hole, the 16th, which has become quite popular over the years as the grandstands surround the entire golf hole, and they are annually filled to capacity with beer-swilling fans loudly cheering the good shots and, yes, jeering the bad ones. The usually stoic PGA professionals generally go along with this gag and try to quickly finish the hole so they can move ahead to the 17th. But this year, the par 3 16th hole went from a fun golf hole with a loud, obnoxious crowd to, we might need to rethink this idea next year. On Saturday, and then again on Sunday, a golfer scored a rare hole-in-one on the 16th hole in Phoenix. And as you might expect, the cheers were thunderous. As no one expected, though, the gleeful assemblage of 40,000 alcohol-consuming golf fans then decided to throw their cups of liquid courage onto the golf course and celebrate the golfer's hole-in-one. Fortunately, the sponsor of this event is a waste management company, and they were able to clean up this mess within about 5 or 10 minutes so that the golfers could finish the hole and then get away from all that madness. Maybe this should have been expected when you have thousands of people all afternoon consuming more and more alcoholic beverages in the Arizona sunshine. And though the PGA tournament concluded with a late playoff win by Scottie Scheffler for his first tour win, I turned over to watch the big football game then on NBC right at kickoff time.
Yes!
And though I was definitely pulling for the underdog Cincinnati and former LSU quarterback Joe Burrow, like most of the nation, I also knew that the Los Angeles Rams featured 40-year-old LSU offensive lineman Andrew Whitworth. We talked about him a few shows ago. So no matter which team won, Louisiana was going to be awfully proud. But then, my very first commercial break of the game came, and at $5.6 million per 30 seconds, I immediately began to notice that my generation was being left in the dust for the commercials for this game. But hey, look, there's Dolly Parton. I know her. She's from my generation. I just didn't understand the ad that she was in. So I did a little research, and I learned that it was a supposed fake public service announcement saying that you might have purchased a newfangled 5G cell phone, which doesn't work right now because your carrier doesn't provide service in your area yet. Apparently, this lesser-known carrier does. As T-Mobile executive Peter DeLuca said, quote, 5G has been hyped in the U.S. for almost 3 years now, and phones have been sold for almost 2.5 years. So there's a lot of 5G phones that Americans have been buying, but they haven't been able to receive 5G service. Okay, just don't ask me or most Americans what that G actually means. It's generation, I believe. Or how the phone actually works. But remember this, those prices keep on rising and the people keep on paying for it. And that, my friends, is Marketing 101. Yeah. Oh, look, there's another company wasting millions of dollars. Hey, it's a commercial featuring a game of Pong, is that right? But only later did my lovely wife explain to me that the Pong logo on the screen was actually something that you're supposed to hold your cell phone up to on the TV so that it can magically take a picture and take you to the company's website. The ad was for a cryptocurrency. In case you're not up on cryptocurrency, that's money which is, quote, created by computers which are solving difficult puzzles 24/7, and then when they do, they're rewarded with fake money. Now, that's unlike the traditional type of money which we all know the Fed prints in a government building in Washington, D.C., which may become equally worthless soon. There were so many geeks shooting pictures of this Pong logo commercial that the company's website crashed before it could sign everyone up for their free $15 worth of cryptocurrency. The company's stock price went up 75 cents today on Monday, so I guess they're happy with the results of their commercial. Then I saw a few other ads featuring a few people I actually knew. Hey, there's Jim Carrey as the cable guy. William Shatner, he's in a fitness commercial. And then there's Larry David. He's advertising for some different cryptocurrency, but don't worry, folks, it's all perfectly safe. Hey, and there's Mike Myers, Dr. Evil, from the Austin Powers movies. And though I don't think any of their commercials were particularly funny, I once again then realized, aha, my generation wasn't the target for the attempted humor by those stars in those commercials. Okay, now I have to say that I did like one commercial, which featured Barbie the doll as she tried to buy a house and then had to deal with a few other evil dolls trying to buy her Barbie doll house out from under her. It was a clever commercial and funny, and I can actually remember the mortgage company's name today, Rocket. Does that mean that that particular ad was an epic fail if my generation actually liked it? Well, as for the football game itself last night, congratulations to the Los Angeles Rams on their game-winning drive in the final minute and their final defensive stand to end the wild but exciting joyride by the Cincinnati Bengals. And one thing I do know, the NFL bosses are very happy with yet another three-point game. It's too bad that the talented NBC football analyst of Drew Brees, Rodney Harrison, and coach Tony Dungy were only given about 10 seconds each to make a post-game comment about the game. After NBC had provided over 6 hours of pre-game hype, the network's highly paid football experts were only allocated about 30 seconds in total for post-game analysis. And I stuck around through more commercials, specifically hoping to hear what Drew Brees might have to say about the Cincinnati Bengals' questionable third and fourth down play calls near midfield right as the game ended. Oh well, but at least I slept really well last night knowing that Barbie was finally able to get her dollhouse. I'm Swamp Swami. Get off my lawn. See you soon.